updated autopsy report, a podcast from Yotes Men and Friends, where we replay the entire Ace Attorney series with longtime fans and newcomers. I'm your host, Ben, and with me today is Desi.
Hello.
And two good friends of ours, Tiago.
Yeah.
And Rose.
Hi.
I am the longtime fan, and joining Tiago and Rose is Desi this time as a newcomer for Spirit of Justice.
I was too depressed almost, and working full time for this.
Yeah, I almost made it through that sentence without flubbing it.
I think we're keeping that right in, baby.
Yeah, we hope that through both of our perspectives. Yeah, they do. We got to keep it real. We hope that through both of our perspectives as we play through the series, it'll reveal new details and provide interesting commentary for a series near and dear to us. Today, we have all played the second half of the third case of Spirit of Justice, The Right of Turnabout. So, our summary for this week, I guess I'll just get right into it.
I'm going to crack open to the sake because that's how I feel about this case.
Grip and rip it.
I got to open. I actually.
Live on the air.
I'm drinking. This is a local Boston brand. It's called Lucky Dog Sake. It was imported. I guess it's not local because it was imported. Never mind.
imported beer.
I went to a bazaar today, and there was a lady there being like, "I'm trying to bring Japanese sake to Boston." And I said, "Yippee! I'll drink to that." And now I have a sake box like that hot lady from Bochy the Rock.
I lost your audio for a second, and I was like, "Big sake has taken him out."
Big sake shot me.
Yep.
Taken out in his prime.
So sad. What a tragedy.
All right.
But taken out after he finished the case. So let's get into it.
Oh, segue.
Back on the investigation track, Phoenix is once again accompanied by Rafa as he attempts to solve the second murder case. In the process of investigating Prey Zealot's murder, Phoenix learns about the Tome of Secrets, Prey's lack of history in the nation, and also the Feast of Blessings, the stinkiest meal of the year. While wandering, Phoenix also sneaks away to chase after Dats a Rebel, pursuing him into a secret sewer base. After talking to Dats, Phoenix looks at a photo that Rebel leader Dirk has hanging on the wall of a young Nayuta and Apollo Justice. Apparently, Dirk is Apollo's adoptive father and Nayuta's regular father, meaning that Apollo grew up here in Kuraine at a young age. Phoenix thanks Dats for everything, takes his Dragon Ball, and then leaves the sewer, having learned the secret of the youths. Using the Dragon Ball, Phoenix and Rafa open up a second secret rebel hideout and find the location of Prey's actual murder, against the statue of the Warbad, crushed by a large mossy rock that looks like a carpet. Armed with Nora knowledge, Phoenix tentatively steps back into court. Unfortunately, things immediately go poorly, but Phoenix desperately points out that the priest, Trust in Me himself, could have been the killer. Knowing this is the only place where they can truly practice ghost law, Maya agrees to channel Trust so they can get his testimony. This is, of course, scandalous in Kuraine, as only the queen can spirit channel. Supposedly. Mile channels Trust, who immediately begins lying at his ass. He is clearly trying to protect somebody, and Phoenix hones in on it. His wife, Believe in Me. Believe killed Perret, who is, surprise, a member of the secret police, and also Lady Kira, in self-defense when he found their secret hideout. Trust then framed Maya for both killings and impaled himself on the Warbad statue in such a way to forge the visuals of the divination seance. This is, of course, all due to the DCA, as Trust knew that he couldn't count on the legal system to exonerate his wife. Before his spirit departs, Trust apologizes for his actions and bids farewell to Believe, who then immediately helps Dirk set off an explosion in the courtroom and absconds with fellow rebels.
Good for her.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, there's like a Cash Hope Jobs joke hidden somewhere in the names of all the people in this case, but I couldn't be asked to do it, so.
Cash Hope Jobs?
Yeah, you know, for we used to have Bob Hope, Johnny Cash, and Steve Jobs, and now we have no cash, no hope, no job. That joke, right?
Got it. Okay.
All these names. No belief, there's got to be a joke in there somewhere, but I couldn't make
belief,
it work.
No belief, no trust, and yeah. No zealots.
No zealots.
I think that is mostly what we do have in this country.
Right.
I think the easiest way to describe this case for me personally is I liked all the investigation parts and I disliked all of the court segments, but I will say the final court segment where we practice ghost law was some of the tightest shit to have happened in this case, because I like the fact that we were able to rub somebody's fucking face in it. I don't want to sound too mean about Sadmati.
I agree with you.
I
think we don't like it. He can't sit with us, is what we're saying.
The problem is in his writing. He is here to explicitly kill us. Not like, you know, defeat us in court like we're Yu-Gi-Oh! No, he's got a gun under the table. No, on top of the table, and is pointing it at us.
His insults aren't that fun. He's like, oh, your brain is rotten and full of holes like cheese. And I'm like, well, first of all, don't talk about cheese in front of me.
Okay.
I'm handing him the piece of paper that says I know more than you do. Like,
okay.
Right.
Rose was a cheesemonger.
Yeah. Some sick Rose lore.
Sick Rose lore.
I think the other thing as well is, this is getting ahead just a little bit, but since we're talking about, you know, Sadmati's motivations here, is like, we get like a little bit of like a line here and there, I believe, in this case, where they say like, oh yeah, he, you know, he's Dirk's son, he used to like say he was going to change things from the inside, and now look at him, right?
Now so he's a like, little bitch.
Yeah, so like the
I hate this. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Whoa!
I'm also really like, grumpy.
I'm standing right next to Rose. I'm holding your hand.
Yeah. We're like the predator, like the arms.
Yeah, predator arms clasped together. Yeah. I mean, the generous reading, right, is that he's still doing it, but he's just lost his way, right? He still wants to change things from the inside, but he's lost his way. But the thing is if he, you know, we'll have to get through the rest of the game to see how things play out. But at this point, yes, from Phoenix's point of view, man, this looks like you're doing a really poor job of it, because if you keep doing this, I die and my clients die too, right? There's
yeah,
not
I'm
a lot of wiggle
killing
room.
A certain number of, I guess that's like a non-generous rebel mindset is like, oh, well, if I get a few innocent people convicted and killed, well, for the greater good. But I'm not seeing a lot of greater good coming out of you, sir.
This trolley problem has not resolved itself in a satisfactory way yet.
I will totally believe that, like, in the next case or the case after, he's gonna go, I was actually on your side the entire time, and I was, you know.
And I'm gonna go, I don't believe you.
That's the thing, is that, like, if you were on my side, you did try to kill me. Like, I can't imagine a universe in which if I'm the lawyer opposite Sadmati, I beat him in court. He doesn't, this actually got me real tight. He doesn't even like apologize. He straight up goes, I owe you a debt. And I'm like,
you did last time too.
You
just say it.
Yesterday you actually had me killed. You understand that, right? That if it was not for the circumstances of this second body, you actually had me put to death for a crime we didn't do. So it's all jokes and fun. Japanifornia, haha, clown world, Maya's here. You did kill me.
Yeah, for some reason, Japanifornia would never do this to me.
Japanifornia would never have me put to fucking death.
No, I mean, they will give a child the death penalty, but, like, not me.
But not
too.
Me, the lawyer defending.
Me too.
Oh my god. You know, when,
you want to jump back to the investigations, or did you have something else?
When we
I like
get
the
to
investigation. Let's do it. Let's
okay,
do
you know what?
We'll
let's
vent.
Go. We'll vent more. Okay, the investigations, right? I think
there's some fun stuff, I think, in this investigation phase.
Yeah, yes. I had fun.
We again got to hang out with our favorite sidekick, Princess Rafa, who, like, I am kind of warming up on.
I like that. What's she's up? Stupid.
She gets a little more development here, right? Over the course of the end of this case, she gets, like, a little bit more, like, I don't know. Her character gets more handholds. Like, there's more, a little more, some more crevices here instead of just the, like, bratty teenage, you know, teenager, like, behavior that we were getting for a while.
She is a tokusatsu fan, so inherently she can't be that evil.
It's true. She does like the tokusatsu.
That's true. Only the good people like tokusatsu in this fucking game.
But she's kind of hiding it, right? Because she's a princess and she's not supposed to be in that kind of stuff.
She's hiding her good self underneath like a world in society that dictates how she should be. When in reality, if she did a henshin in the middle of the courtroom case, I think it'd be kind of cool.
The people would love it.
The people would love it. Now, we get to investigate with her, and we have to, like, track down everything that has to do with the court case. We have to go talk back to Believe in Me, who, like, is still mourning the death of her husband, who she loves very much. We find a funny photo with Pare Zealot, Believe in Me, Maya Fey, and Trust in Me having a wonderful Gingy?
I hate all Gingiel? These people's names. I hate Gingis? All of them.
Can you say it again?
Let me pull it up here.
Gingihi, I believe is how it's spelled.
Oh,
yeah. Gingihl. Yeah. Yeah.
Gingiel. Gingiel. Right?
Gingiel. Yeah.
Is that a pun?
If it is, I don't know what it is. Right.
Okay.
We're double checking the Ace Attorney wiki to see if they list, because they will sometimes list the puns at the bottom here, and I do not see one for the Gingiel.
Got so. It. It's just, it could be real for all we know. We should be respectful of that fact. I think that it was warming to see them have a funny little dinner and see Maya Fey hold up the tokusatsu strap, because she's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
We leave Believe in Me. We have to keep investigating places, right? We go back to the Inner Sanctum. I don't know why we go back here. We actually go some. What the fuck did we do in the investigation? I don't remember.
Phoenix said we should go everywhere, and so I did. And somehow the place I went last was the place where
was
I
correct.
To go.
Yeah, it was straight up right.
Yeah, and the big thing I think is the Tome of Secrets that you bring to Maya. Then she's like, "Can you go get the secret religious text that I have in my bag? They gave it to me on
Phoenix,
loan.
Listen to me. I need you to go to GameStop, and I need you to pick me up a copy of Bambi 2.
What's wild?
PS2. Yeah.
What's wild is that this, like, piece of paper is not supposed to be viewed by people of, like,
who aren't part of the ceremony or whatever.
Yeah. So, like,
and Phoenix just opens it up immediately.
Princess Rafa goes, "What the fuck are you doing? Put that away." And Phoenix goes, "I don't understand your strange religion. Me, an atheist."
He's like, "I think I'm just gonna look anyway." Okay,
could be really important. You find the true name of Lady Kira, but very importantly, we don't see their true face. Gotta have that memorized, okay? No,
this will be a funny detail for later.
Yep. We see the site of the body, which was apparently outside the gate of the Inner Sanctum. We see our very funny friend Emma Sky, and she teaches little Rafa about forensics, and she learns a little more today, you know?
This is the first moment where I'm like, Rafa is starting to warm up on me. This moment of Emma being like, "Oh, check out, you know, how we can, you know, use luminol spray to test for blood." And Rafa's like, "Oh, interesting.
Forensic."
You know, trying to hide how, like, actually interested she is in it, you know, it's a cliche, but it works, right?
It works because, like, it's almost, because it's also like us.
Teenagers are like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Teenagers love forensics.
Source was a teenager.
I think that, when she learns a little bit more, I think the funny line was like, she goes, "Forensics is stupid," and Emma Sky goes, "Prosecutor Sanmati likes it," and she goes, "My apologies, I didn't know you had that dog in you."
Yeah, that's exactly what she says.
I'm sorry,
actually.
I didn't recognize your game.
I didn't recognize your game.
Your game too strong.
Yeah. Your swag too hard. My bad.
Your smoke too fuck. Or whatever.
Yep, that's how the line goes.
I don't fucking remember.
I like it better that way, actually.
We learn a little bit more about the body. He had a funny peach tattoo on the back of his neck. They found him in the prayer position. His knife was, like, at the top of his spine, which people said
it's kind
was
of gruesome.
It's kind of insane. Yeah. It's kind of crazy that this corpse was just here.
There's a lot of gore in this
game. Also, yes, he was here. He was just here. Multiple people were praying next to a dead body for hours.
It was cold, and the entire village smelled of gingil, okay? No one smelt it.
Yeah. There's so many contrivances to make this work, but
hey, I think it's actually kind of sick to have like the corpse be there the entire time,
just in front of everybody.
Yeah, you know, where do you hide a forest and where do you hide a tree in the forest? You know, how fuck do we get the ball? Like, I remember we have to get to the inner sanctum.
We go back to the main marketplace, right? Kind of like the main street. And that is when the cops run past and are like, we're chasing a rebel, you know? And Phoenix is like, you know, I'd love to talk to a rebel. And Rafe is like, that's dangerous. No, I'm going to stay
How
here.
About
and he goes,
I
well,
do
I'm
anyway.
Yeah. And so Phoenix is like, I'm going to go into this sewer hatch because I think that's where rebels go. And the second he crawls down it, he gets conked over the head and knocked out.
So he was right.
He was 100% correct.
His brain damage.
The Teenage
too
Mutant
hard.
Ninja Rebels are here.
We wake up in an unknown office, and then Dats a Rebel is there and says, this is Dirk's law office. He used to be a lawyer. And we go,
this game is making sense all of a sudden.
I almost wanted to be like, so am I signed up for the rebels or what's up? Like, where the fuck do I get there? Dats a Rebel is like, I'm actually running away because the heat too hard and I don't care about the cause anymore. And Phoenix Wright, using the power of his Magatama, goes, you're lying. And he said, shit, you're right. I love the cause. And also, I'm fucking ride or die, baby. Let's do this shit.
Yeah. I'm glad that his first instinct was like, well, I guess I'll just lie to this lawyer. Fuck it.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Good move. Even though he's a part of the cause, he still has that, like, the distrust of lawyers. And he's like, listen, man, I know that, you know, I'm a rebel, but also, like, I don't know whose side you're on. And Phoenix Wright goes, I'm on my side. I'm an outsider, and I have no stake in this rebellion. I hope you win, I guess. I guess I do have a stake. I'm talking myself into the rebellion.
Yeah.
Tiago's talking himself into the rebellion.
Tiago is being talked into the fucking rebellion while putting the mask of Phoenix Wright on.
Have you seen Dirk? He looks pretty cool.
I actually don't think he looks as cool as the Queen Consort, though. That's the issue.
He looks like just a normal Ace Attorney character.
That's the... here's
looks
my thing.
So normal.
Dirk, like... Here's the issue. Both the Queen Consort and Dirk look like Street Fighter characters. The problem is that the Queen Consort looks like a cooler Street Fighter character, and therefore I'd want to main him instead. Gotcha. He has a cigar. Dirk doesn't have a cigar.
Right.
So Dats a Rebel gives us a lot of information. He goes, yeah, Terrestra was a rebel. There's a secret base in the Inner Sanctum. Here's a fucking key. Here's an apple. Here's a knife. Here's a couple of
Here's
slim
a picture.
Gems.
Here's a funny picture.
Here's a funny picture of a little kid. He has white hair. And another kid with brown hair, and he's got a funny gold bracelet on his left hand, and his adoptive father, Dirk, in the image. Now, the lore of Sadmati and Apollo Justice, are like stepbrothers, is not the lore that I expected.
You know what?
What's
Someone
up,
tried to warn you, Tiago.
Here's the thing. That twist is so dumb that I almost kind of want to ignore it. Like, what was Apollo doing in the Kingdom of Karain? He's Japanifornian.
He was having a childhood, apparently.
The last backstory we stapled onto him didn't stick. We gotta try again.
Clay Terran did not stick. We gotta
I guess
get
not.
You, if we lay out again, I
need the Apollo Justice timeline.
Yeah, but if we lay out the timeline, Apollo is a little baby who Lamoureux has.
Half magician
baby. Tragic. She then has something happen in some way in which she loses him. Either
well, she lost her memory. So therefore,
yeah, she lost her memory, right?
Yeah.
But somehow from there, baby Apollo, like, transports to Kuraein.
Instant transmission, yeah.
Somehow.
She put the baby on an airplane, then hit her head, and...
She lost her memory at the airport.
May or may not get more information about this, right? There's more game to come, right?
Got there Home Alone 2 style. He was supposed to go to New York. He ended up in the Kingdom of Kuraein.
It could happen to any baby.
And it could happen to
any baby. And then a defense attorney adopts him. Dirk, the defense attorney, adopts him and says, you know what, I'll take care of you.
Here's also my...
Same eyebrows.
Take my eyebrows, take my gun, take my attorney badge. This is your half-brother, Sadmani. When he grows up, he's going to be insufferable. So it's your job to be one of the most likable people in the world. Good job, Apollo.
But then he also sends him
to
Japanifornia.
That's just what having siblings is like.
He goes back to Japanifornia.
He goes to Japanifornia then. And then he becomes best friends with an astronaut for a bit.
Yeah.
While he's like 6 or 7.
It's not enough for him to be...
he was young in that picture with Clay.
It's not enough for him to be global. He has to be... like extra international. It's not international anymore. We need to go
extraterrestrial,
and that's why you need Clay Terran as a friendship. Apollo needs to unite the hands all across the world, from the Kingdom of Kuraein to Japanifornia to outer space. He's going to practice space law one day
To whatever somehow, like, nondescript Eastern European country Lamoureux is originally from.
Right.
I forgot that Lamoureux is like some nondescript European country. I thought she was still.
I never forget your made up wacky little Eastern European countries. I love them.
My head hurts.
Keep adding them on.
So
it's just
put
this
more
is why
weird
we,
little countries in there.
This is why I have had to try to keep myself and on the Let's Play when Iroh's on, because we were burdened by knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had to keep ourselves back from making jokes constantly about
Apollo Justice,
his 3 backstories, his 4 backstories, his 7 backstories.
So
you
many
know,
back.
everything that like keeps getting, like you said, Rose, stapled on to try to connect him to whatever is currently happening in
instead of giving him a game where he can reveal all that stuff.
I don't know. I feel like it's pretty good if he's just a guy. But, like, obviously the magician backstory makes the most sense. It explains his power.
Yeah.
It's the first one we got. Maybe we should stick with it. It's funny.
I swear to God.
Apollo, how come you get 2 half-siblings?
Apollo Justice has slowly become the Ichigo Kurosaki of the Phoenix Wright world, where, like, he just gets every backstory possible. He's
this
a Quincy. He's a wizard. He's an Arrancar. He's a Shinigami.
I'm gonna chew my own arm off.
He's got magician blood in him. He's also got adoptive father lawyer blood in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got Eastern European fake country blood in him. He's got Kuraein blood in him. You know, he's got a little bit of everything going
on. Wait,
there.
Do we actually know for sure he has Kuraein blood in him?
Sorry. I'm using blood as like the term for just like we're putting everything in the pot here. Sorry.
What if Dirk did ass happen to be his real dad though? I couldn't tell you otherwise. It could happen for all
you know.
I know
that is actually possible because
Dirk
she
looks
has...
more like Apollo than he does like Sadmati.
Yeah,
true.
Because right, like he's Trissy's half brother. So she went and had a kid with some other guy.
A magician.
With one of the magicians. Yeah.
Was it a different magician, or...?
It was a different magician. It was the magician
that's
who
so
died.
Sad. So he saw
yeah,
all
the
magician.
Yeah, the asshole magician.
No, so Trucy's full magician, Apollo's half magician.
Okay, so who's the other guy? Was he another magician?
Do you mean the other guy's in
Apollo's
father?
I don't remember.
Father?
I'm genuinely lost in the sauce.
Trucy's father...
It's actually Giovanni. Giovanni's actually
Oh my god. No, we can't bring up... Get out of here with that.
Yeah.
All right.
to make it clear, Trucy's father is Zach Grammery.
He was
that
the
guy I remember. He asshole, was kind of an asshole.
Yes.
The asshole magician, yes.
We do not know Apollo's father.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. It could be Dirk.
Yes.
It could be Dirk.
Yeah, now they do it, yes. Dats explicitly says that Dirk is his adoptive father. He does say that. They say that straight out, which is strange, I think, a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's a little weird.
I could see the game going like, yeah, I said he was my adopted son because I didn't want people to know that he was my real son. I could see that being a fucking Ace Attorney twist. Now, this picture caused a lot of psychic damage to me, but I have to go back to defend Maya. That's a lot of shit I'm going to handle later. Phoenix Wright goes, is that Apollo? I can't think about this right now.
He really does. You get like three lines about it.
I feel the same way.
It should be shocking. This should be earth-shattering to Phoenix. And he just goes, huh, that's Apollo. Man, that's kind of strange. I should think about that later. I'm on death row, basically.
I die tonight.
Shit.
Phoenix Wright going to his Disco Elysium shit compressor.
Oh my god, that would be that would be fun and interesting
fucking
concept
ride.
That I will also deal with later.
And then you go back to That's a Rebel and he goes, so what should I do next? He goes, you can investigate the Rebel hideout. And you go, what Rebel hideout? And he goes, it's at the Inner Sanctum. Here's the key. It looks like a funny eyeball.
He does not tell you it's at the Inner Sanctum. He just goes, oh, it's around.
That's
You'll
true.
Find it.
I actually, here's the thing. Is that
There's only
I,
so many places you can go, Phoenix.
I immediately knew that it was in the Inner Sanctum because I remember investigating it the first time and being like, that statue has a hole in its eye. That's a Legend of Zelda puzzle. I'm going to solve that later.
Yeah, that part was pretty obvious, but still.
This whole case is, we'll get back to that later.
Here's the craziest part is that, the key, they never bring this up in the case, but the key is a little orange ball. It does look like a dragon ball. It is in the background of the portrait at the family dinner. And it, like, I saw it there and went, hey, Terust has the same key. What's up with that? Mm-hmm. Someone
is
here.
That
is that important? We never get to talk about that.
Chekhov's eyeball key.
We get to go in there, but unfortunately Princess Rafa, who's been here the entire time, except for when we're talking about that's a rebel because she won't go in the sewer, lame. She goes, I can't touch blood, so I can't go in the rebel hideout, but you can't, don't cheat and lie. And you go, okay, Rafa, once again, I don't cheat, I do lie. And then you go in there.
You have not seen me cheat.
You go in there, you find a sick rebel hideout.
Lie. It's called bluffing.
A lie is a bluff. Come on, a bluff is a lie.
Not to Phoenix Wright.
Okay, fair. I'll give you that. We find Plute and Punisher merch, which is strange for the Rebels to have. I don't quite get it. We find a bunch of stuff. Find evidence. We find where the real murder scene happened.
I know why they have... Listen, the reason why everybody has Plumed Punisher merch is because, listen, everybody watches Star Wars and thinks they're the Rebel Alliance.
True. That's fair.
You know what? A disappointing number of people are like, we're the Empire, and that's great.
Well, that's
so
true.
Just saying.
We're getting
that's
so
a different podcast.
We're getting so close to a different podcast occurring, and I'm not well versed enough.
Yeah,
to
you know what? We can't do a
one.
Star Wars podcast. We've had to talk about this several times.
That's again our fictional Kickstarter second episode is the Star Wars opinion podcast.
No, there's too many.
So we investigate here. We find the real murder scene. Of course, Emma Scott shows up and goes, "This is the real murder scene." And you go, "Yeah, I figured that out, Emma. I didn't cheat. I didn't steal anything. Here's all the information, yada yada, we're good." And then we get to go into funny court. And then in court, is there anything else we want to bring up in the investigation section?
I was going to say, anything else that you thought, Desi, that jumped out at you during the investigation?
I don't think so. No, I don't think
so. The problem
you're asking me like there's something I should be asking.
No, I'm just
no, I can't think of anything.
Me and Ben are the like the performers that show up during a high school play and ask the audience if you guys understand how not to use drugs. Destiny, you understand how not to use drugs?
Instructions were unclear. Accidentally did drugs.
Okay, it sounds good.
Frequently do drugs on the weekend.
I also frequently do drugs, Ben.
Drugs are cool, kids.
Yeah, drugs are cool, kids. Drugs are great.
The Ace Attorney podcast says if you're over 18, light them up, bitches. You got
Actually, I did tell some people at work that I was on an Ace Attorney podcast. I doubt they'll find me, though.
Okay, in case you're a Rose coworker.
If they do, be cool.
Hey, yeah, if you're one of Rose's coworkers, be fucking cool, okay?
They're cool. They're cool.
I know, but be fucking cool, you know?
I understand.
Thank you. We go into court.
Instructions not clear.
Yeah, we go to court.
Princess Rafa pulls out her funny kiddie pool and tries to do a divination seance, but it doesn't work because we realize that the guy named Puri Zealot, that's not his real name. What a shocker.
What? Wow. No way. The guy who had a mysterious backstory and a fake name is using a fake name?
His real name... Is this the worst pun, Ben?
No!
No.
I asked that
too!
Is this
not it? I was so sure it was it.
No.
His real name...
It's on the way.
His real name...
I'm gonna throw myself out the window.
His real name is, of course, Real Nemu. Thank you very much, everybody.
Terrible. Yeah.
Now, I also realized that there's a second pun for Perezella.
Okay, what's the second pun?
So, obviously, it's praise a lot, right?
Yeah.
And then the other one is pray, like P-R-E-Y, praying on people, and a zealot, right? Because he prays on zealots.
Here's what got me fucked up. Is I thought the pun behind his name was pure zealot.
Yeah, I thought it was praise a lot.
You think it's praise a lot?
Because he was very devout. They said how much he prays. He was the whole thing is that he.
I thought it had to do with
praying.
Zealot too, because I was like, what?
I thought he was a pure zealot. Yeah, so it's praise. So it's praise a lot, and then also he pray like the predator a lot because he turns out to be a member of. Oh, we get this in the investigation
phase.
The secret
police, yeah.
The investigation phase, they realize that, quote-unquote, Lady Kira is a ploy used by the government to fund the secret police in order to hunt the rebels, end quote, from Death to Rebel. That is an insane plot line that we have to deal with. So,
I mean, secret police is not surprising to me. Secret police dressing up as
Tokusatsu.
Like, as Tokusatsu characters to like kill rebels is
that's very Ace Attorney.
If my secret police showed up as Kamen Rider and killed three people, I guess I wouldn't think about it. I guess if Kamen Rider killed some people,
that's the real Kamen Rider.
That's the real Kamen Rider. I can't stop
three
him.
People.
Kill
just
three
like
people.
Kamen Rider.
Just like Kamen Rider. You know what? Never mind. I now understand why everyone fell for this. I would have fallen for it too.
I don't know. I feel like part of the problem with this like case, which you don't get in the investigation because you're investigating, obviously, is like every time you like come to a... Like, they're trying to keep the stakes really high, right? Like, oh, you're constantly losing. Like, nothing you say works. Everything you do, every idea you come up with is getting refuted like seconds after you... think you've solved something, right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't like, instead of having the effect of like keeping me on edge, just makes me like kind of annoyed. I'm like, why am I here? Like, I have no agency. I don't feel like I'm getting closer to the truth. I just feel like every time I come with an idea and say it, somebody goes, aha, well that can't be true because of this piece of evidence that we're just came up with now that completely specifically negates exactly what you just said.
Rose,
which Miles Edgeworth would not do to me.
At the end of the, when we get to the end of this case and talk about our final thoughts, I'm gonna actually explode. But for now, we have to keep talking about this.
Well, thank you for the warning.
You.
But that's how I felt.
I want you to know that I'm right there with you.
That's my summary of this. Although we did get to do some ghost law,
we do get to do ghost law.
That had a couple flashes of interesting in there.
So what happens is we cannot do the divination seance because we cannot get the true name. However, we do through testimony against Emma Sky, we realize that the police have not looked into the identity of Puri Zealot, and then it goes, well, obviously we should know who the fuck he is. He died. And through that method, we find out that the Kuranese people have marks on their body to as like an identification, and his peach tattoo was his identification, and he was a dude named Real Nemu, which means you can get the divination seance. The divination seance is, of course, obtuse. But then,
right.
To help us, Princess Rafa pulls out elementary school level literary knowledge and determines what happens. And of course, we break this apart over our knee because we're an attorney who's been doing this for like 10 years. Rafa's real sad about this, but I don't care. I'm actually, we're friends outside the court.
Fuck that kid.
We're friends outside the court case. Inside the court, I will make you cry, and you're gonna have to deal with that.
I mean, she's trying to kill my friend.
And me.
And me.
Yeah, no, don't forget that part. I honestly, killing Maya Faye, expected. I understand why you would want to kill her. Killing me, though, that's fucked. You know?
Accept your fate, barbed head.
I mean, wherever Maya goes, people are randomly killed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's her, because we've proven it isn't several times, but something's gotta be going on.
She's not the one physically doing it.
Rafa literally goes like, Phoenix Wright, why don't you quit? You could probably like get your life saved if you don't back her anymore. And you go, that's my fucking friend. We're ride or die, motherfucker. And she goes, I don't get it. And you're like, do you have friends? Do you understand?
I don't think she has friends.
She doesn't have friends. Yeah, good point.
She has a single assistant who answers her questions like Google.
And her single assistant is also mysteriously outside of the room unless she is called. So we get through the divination seance. It's very funny because we get to update the autopsy report on her because she goes, I know when the body died. And you go, I'm so sorry, Rafa. I know you just learned about forensics. There's something you didn't know. You can fake the time of death by freezing the body. And she goes, what? You should have told me earlier. And I'm like, I actually did straight up have a flashback to that case where Miles Edgeworth did that to us. And I now understand the satisfaction. I understand why he did it to us.
Like, sorry, I've watched power two feels episodes good. Of Forensic Files.
And, of course, the body was killed before Terrest and me, and it was put onto the parade. The actual timeline of events is kind of confusing because there's a certain funny guy who purposely makes it obtuse for us to understand.
Right.
So we have to, like, at a certain point, Phoenix Wright goes, okay, I think the person who killed Parai Zalot has to be someone who had access to the rebel hideout and was at the and has access to the inner sanctum. Now, who do we know that is a high clergyman and a rebel? The dead guy. He probably did it. How do I talk to him? And I look to my left and see the funniest spirit medium that exists in the land. And I go, I have an idea. And she goes, actually, Phoenix Wright, I know that I told you to keep it a secret, but we do have to fucking do this, otherwise we die. So, yeah, I'll summon the body.
I'm fine with my secret getting out so that we don't die.
The option is that we get beheaded or I summon somebody. I will summon somebody. The court does lose it because, you know, only the Holy Mother can spirit channel. It's one of the secret arts. Meanwhile, some dipshit teenager from Japanifornia has been doing it to call her sister to watch fucking Dateline or whatever. Like, it's so funny to me that this is like, spirit channeling is a holy medium. Meanwhile, Mia Faye's been spirit channeled so that she can get caught up on House.
Like, she's just checking in on us for real. Just like, hey, how's it going? Is Phoenix still? Oh, alright.
Like, I imagine we'll Mia Faye gets summoned, like, once every other week, but specifically to watch a show or just to catch up. Like, Phoenix Wright is like, I got lunch with Mia in an hour, and Miles Edgeworth goes, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean you have lunch in an hour?
There is official art. There is official Ace Attorney art of Miles Edgeworth being stunned by seeing Mia Faye, right?
Yeah.
As Maya channels him, and he's like, excuse me, what the fuck am I looking at? And Phoenix is just like, don't worry about it, keep walking.
There's two answers you could accept,
so
right,
canon.
Now, Miles Edgeworth.
Canon.
That Mia Faye is a shapeshifter, or Mia Faye can summon ghosts. Both of these things are fucking impossible to deal with, so just accept the ghost one.
Right.
So, Maya Faye, thank God she's gone through spirit medium training. Fucking does it, baby. She summons trust in me immediately, no problem. We love to see this. Shout out to Queen popping off. Maya Faye, I have your back no matter what. You're my homie G. We used to eat Big Macs in the day, and now we're eating Shake Shack. This case got me feeling different, man.
I can tell.
I just got really disappointed thing about Shake Shack, so.
Yeah, it's a
Shake
good
Shack, unfortunately, makes me sick.
All right,
I'm so hungry.
So hey, does that mean I can't be your home?
I need some french fries.
Shake Shack. Unpopular opinion. Shake Shack is all right. I think it's decent food. I just wish it was less expensive.
I actually like their burgers fairly well.
Their burgers are pretty good.
Everything else I don't care for.
It's so much. Like, honestly, things are just too expensive nowadays. You know, it's really sad.
Yeah, man.
The fucking dollar menu's gone, man. I'm not over it, dude.
We used to have dollar menu, cheap Shake Shack.
We used to fucking mean something back then.
We used to be a fucking country, really goddammit. I used to be able to spend a $5 bill and get myself a burger and fries and a drink.
Maya Faye.
No burger, no fries, and no drink.
Maya Faye.
And we're in court for murder. What the hell?
When Maya Faye went out for burgers after a court case, it used to be something I could do. And now I fucking can't. When she says we go out for a burger after this case, I go, I can't afford it. And that's fucked. Anyway. Fuck, dude. We get the ghost of a dead man into the courtroom, and now we get to practice dead-ass court law. We've been waiting a long time for this.
Yeah, I was curious. You guys have been the ones who've been advocating for ghost law all this time, and you finally get to practice it. For real.
Why the fuck didn't we summon Pariah Zealot? Why did it have to be Terustin me?
Because he's funnier.
Okay. That's fair. He has a model. Right. He has a model. Good point.
He's got a model.
That's
He's got a bit that he can do.
Just
right?
Funny
he's doing funny monk bits, right? Yeah, stretching, putting his leg behind his head, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like in this country where... Oh, hiccup.
Mm-hmm. My friend.
That just happened. All right. Where, like, ghost laws is totally allowed. I'm like, shouldn't we have, like, better, like, system protocol for this? Like,
they
I guess only the queen
attorneys.
Can do it, right? So, like, it's not common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that we do get to summon Terustin Me. And he does look like Terustin Me just wearing Maya Faye's clothing and also ponytail.
Mm-hmm. He's even flabbergasted by his hair.
Yeah,
he loves having
hair,
which is pretty fun, actually. I think that's very nice. We have to interview him, and he is a witness who is lying to us, and we have to figure out why he's lying to us, and it's because we definitely accused him of murder. And Sadmati is like, how could you accuse the dead of murder? And I go, easily, you're accusing us. I don't care anymore. I've lost all sense of morality once my head was in a fucking guillotine.
My morality still demands the truth. I just think, I don't know. I just,
mm-hmm.
Somebody sucks. I don't like him.
I wish.
Not even funny.
He needs better bits. I honestly think that he could use an improv coach.
If he was, like, Miles is a shit, but he's funny, right? So we like mm-hmm. him.
Miles is pompous. That's the thing.
Like
Miles,
it's fun to make Miles flustered because he's so pompous,
and
right?
He does
that's
funny
that's
animations.
The fun
in it.
I
whereas here Sadmati, you have to go so far to get him flustered. He has some of the pompous going on, but
it's not the right flavor of pompous.
But yeah, it takes so long to get him there when to get him flustered, right?
That's the issue. Is that when we win in the courtroom, in Karain and against Sadmati, he straight up goes like. Ha ha ha, all according to the threads of fate. Meanwhile, when we one up Miles Hutchworth, he literally goes, what the fuck are you talking about? What do you mean?
How'd you do this? You're an idiot.
Yeah.
It goes into like a 3-day depression every time he loses against us. Like
He pulls out his phone and starts buying tickets to Europe.
He starts commissioning a
he's
chess
like waiting.
Set
he's just,
with
his fucking finger hovering over the fucking purchase button.
A custom chess set. For us, every time, like, come on.
Yes.
You're not getting that from this guy. You're not getting, I have a custom-made chess set depicting myself and you in my office.
His quirk is not that interesting, because, like, every other prosecutor we faced had, like, a funny quirk, and his is just religion. Like, even,
religion,
like...
not all that funny, as it turns out.
Even Godot had, like, his weird coffee manly. Like, he was a sexist, and that was even funnier than the religious thing.
Yeah, he had that weird, like 1950s, like, Mad Men-esque vibe that was, like, really funny.
Dude,
yeah, he called women kitten, and it's like, okay, dude.
All right, man. I know that two things. One, you suck. Two, I don't have to take that seriously at all.
All right, two things. One, Godot would be perfectly voiced by John Hamm. You pulled out the Madman thing, Ben, and I can't not think about him just going like,
"Oh, that was Rose. That was Rose."
I'm sorry. I'm not alive right now.
You know what? Me neither. Let's shake hands.
It's very funny to imagine him being voiced by John Hamm going like, "What do you want from me?"
Like, I don't think about you at all.
I don't think about you at all. It's like,
I don't think about you at all, trite.
So funny to imagine a voice with John.
I don't know. I want him to be funny, but he's just not funny. Godot was funny. Francisco was hilarious.
We had a rock star prosecutor. We had a prisoner prosecutor.
And he was funny too.
I think, like, we kind of already did the, like, religious angle with Justine Court. Right? Like, she believed
Justine,
in the court.
Yeah.
But, like, she made it work.
She was hotter, though.
She was way hotter. And also, her bit is that, like, she was, like, the nun at the fucking school who has to, like, control her student, which was Sebastian the Best. Meanwhile, Sadmati's thing is simply just, like, I'm better than you. You are nothing. Let go. And I'm like, come on, dude. No. Come up with... Honestly... He would have been better if he was just doing Terustin's bits. He should start flexing. He should start stretching and shit.
They're belaboring the, like, you should give up and accept your fate metaphor. But it's not really a metaphor. They're just, like, hitting me over the head with the message on, like,
they're
a big billboard.
They're straight up saying it, and they're not even funny about it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think the other thing that happens here that I was gonna say is, like, both of these witnesses, right? Because... last court segment, basically last episode, when we had Dats show up in his funny mustache and beard, right?
Yeah, that was good.
And then also in with Terust here, the thing is, though, is that both of their testimonies are the exact same thing. Constant lies that you just have to beat down, right? You just have to break through. It's just lie, 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 lie. Like, really blatant, obvious lies that you just have to go through until you get to the actual meat of the contradiction, and then you start to make some progress. And having that happen in both court segments, I think, is part of the reason why the court segments of this case have not felt as interesting as the investigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I do like the ghost law bit.
Ghost law
is fun to finally have somebody channeled, finally have somebody who was murdered put on the stand and, like, talk to them, right? So finally talk to a dead guy and be like, all right, so what the fuck happened? Now, of course, this dead guy is now intentionally lying, and also he has intentionally, like, it is revealed then eventually that he has intentionally killed himself in such a way so that when Rafa channeled him, it looked like he got killed by somebody when really he killed himself, right? And that's fun. That's interesting to me. That's the part that I like, is, like, finally taking these mechanics and these bits of the world that we've set up, mm-hmm. and then going like, okay, of course, somebody would try to manipulate those. You know, we have seen the divination seance be something that you have to worry about interpreting it correctly. Rafa does not always interpret it correctly. And it is always about, like, what they saw and what they felt and experienced is real. I'm not denying your lived experience, trust in me. Trust me. Trust me. That doesn't mean that what you see cannot be manipulated or, you know, faked in some way. And that's the part where, like, when we actually start to get into that, that's what I like. Unfortunately, it's very brief.
Yeah, and I think some of my, like, positive, like, warming on Rafa is her realization that, oh my god, have I been fucking up?
Like, yeah.
Which I think is really good, because again, she's 14. Like, right. there, yeah. that is about the moment in your life when you start to, like, look around and go, whoa, the world is a lot bigger than I thought it was, and people can just go on the internet and tell lies? Like, hold on.
yeah, exactly.
Like, people can fuck with my ability, which is not necessarily untrue. Like, everything she puts is true, more or less.
Just misinterpreted.
That... Yeah. That's what got me kind of tight about this case. And there's two things. One, when we're back talking to Dats a Rebel, he straight up goes like, back in my day, the divination seance was not accepted as the pure truth. It used to be that it would be used in court and the lawyer and the prosecutor would debate over its meaning. And I go,
right.
That makes total sense. A huge theme in Ace Attorney games is that the lawyer and the prosecutor have to work together and clash with their logic in order to find the truth. Truth is what is important.
It's very shown in anime, right? Like,
yeah.
our fight, our two sides opposing, bashing together is what will, like, forge the iron truth, yeah. right, in the center, is yeah. the idea,
work
right?
work to expose the flaws in each other's logic until eventually only the true answer will remain.
And the answer is there are two whales.
Yeah. And, yeah. you know, to be fair, like, obviously, because we're the protagonists, we are always correct that our client is innocent, except for that one time. But, like,
yeah,
you know, and if theoretically in the real world, there would be a more even spread of guilty yeah. and innocent. However, this process is required for every trial.
Like, it's even literal when we're with Miles Edgeworth and we're talking to Zeng in an investigation, and he straight up goes like, ha, let us find the truth together by fighting. And I go, yes. And it's like, okay, that makes sense. Meanwhile, here, it's like, we're letting a teenager do a kiddie pool dance, and then once it's done, she gets to decide whether or not we live or die. And it's like, okay, man, maybe we should talk that fucking thing into question.
and obviously we're getting there, because the rebels are a thing, and they are clearly run by a defense attorney who is now leading this, like, underground rebellion.
What got me tight is that when we look at the initial, there's two things that get me tight. One, when we looked at the initial divination seance for Terustin, we see that he is running towards the statue, and it's like, mm-hmm. okay, clearly he was running towards the statue and then he died. Wouldn't that mean that he ran himself upon the statue, like, trying to kill himself? And then, like, I forget what was the exact wording on, but I believe in the previous, like, segment, Phoenix Wright goes, someone did something in order to forge the divination seance, and Sudmati goes, no, fuck you, that didn't happen. And then in this part, someone go, like, I believe Sadmati goes, clearly they were trying to trick the divination seance, and you're a fool, Miles, Phoenix, right? And I'm like, there was not a force in the courtroom that would have prevented me from jumping over this bench and strangling him. there is something I don't like where I present an idea, someone goes, no, that's stupid, and then 10 minutes later goes, anyway, here's your idea.
that's being a woman in the workforce.
Hey!
Anyway, keep going.
I didn't know how to riff on that one, unfortunately.
As a
there's
male,
no riff, it's just Des and I making finger guns at each
jokes
other.
Yeah, there's no jokes. Right. Hey, you know what? If you're in any workspace, analyze yourself. Think about yourself and how are you stand. You know what I mean?
Steal some office supplies, too.
Get some office... Definitely steal
office supplies.
Slip it in your pocket. Take a stapler. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Take a pencil cup. Who cares?
Do it.
Take your boss's wallet. Fuck though.
Take your office business card.
That got me tight. Yeah, that got me tight. So I was like, all right, dude, whatever. Sadmati, you're not like, once we have the post, like, we're all friends thing, and I have the annual, here's the dinner I have with all the prosecutors who I, like, hated and then became friends with, you're not invited. Also,
I'm poisoning your wine.
Also, Gaspin Payne, you're specifically not invited because you did try to kill me, and I hate you.
Gaspin
I imagine
Payne is the worst.
My fanfic is that once a year, Phoenix Wright goes out and has dinner with every prosecutor who tried to kill him at one point, or like tried to beat him at one point, and they all just have a normal dinner. Like, they're all friends, you know? Godot's mm-hmm. there. Francisca's there. Miles is there. Gavin's there. Fucking all the
Francisca would kill Godot.
You think so?
Yeah. He would say something sexist, and she would just... She would just hit him.
It's that image of three guys at the bar, and Francisca reaches for the bottle, but, like, the other way.
Yeah, I think she would just take him out, and I think that she's right to do so.
She's so right. The true timeline of events in this case is... I think I like it when it's complicated, because it means there's actually, like, a mystery to solve. And it's like this, right?
It's the wrong kind of complicated for me.
You think it's the wrong kind of complicated? Why don't you like it?
I felt like they were forcing so many red herrings on us, and there was no, like, obviously, like, I'll also complain if I feel like I know the answer too early and I'm struggling to get to it. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it just felt so, like, they were just throwing the kitchen sink everywhere all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, that was on purpose, right? Where it's like, the true timeline is that Trust in Me and Believe in Me are two rebels who are trying to help the escape of Dats, a rebel, from the prison. And Pare Zealot is a secret police officer who found out about the rebel base. While Believe in Me was there, he, like, tries to go after her. She defends herself by pushing the slab on top of him, which causes him to fall backwards into the Warbat statue and kill him. She then tells Trust in Me, and Trust in Me goes, "Don't worry, honey, I'll take care of this." And she goes, "Okay, I won't think about this anymore." Trust in Me sets up the body and then goes, "Okay, Maya Faye is going to be the one doing Lady Kira. I'll frame her for not only her murder, but my murder. And I know how to frame the divination seance, because I'm a member of this country and know exactly how it's going to be done. So I'll impale myself upon this statue to make it look like Lady Kira attacked me. And then Maya Faye will die, and Believe in Me wins. GG.
Yippee.
I mean, I understand that. I just feel like the process of us getting there was not the best work that I've seen on an Ace Attorney case.
It had to, like, it did have to use, like, a Phoenix Wright, like, let me brain blast real quick moment, because I don't think I would have been able to get there. You know what I mean?
I just felt like it was, I don't know, the stakes were too high too early for too long, and it just, like I said, it felt like everything was, oh, here, I figured something out. It makes sense with the evidence. Oh, here's this other thing that completely invalidates all this evidence and also your argument very specifically. Haha, you are now back to square one. And Phoenix Wright makes a sad face, and it's like, now we're back to square one. And we do that, like, five times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I did say this on the Let's Play as well, but I'll reiterate it here, is that sometimes I realize that we have to put... We're putting Phoenix in a new place and in a new environment for the purpose of still keeping Phoenix as a character kind of on his back foot all the time, because that is where a lot of the tension in the game comes from, is you having to come up with new ideas and, you know, figure out the all the shit that the prosecutor's throwing at you. But Phoenix, I don't know, there's a part of me that wishes there was some way to balance it, right? Because Phoenix is now a competent attorney. He has people working under
him. He's only competent and good at his job when you're playing Apollo.
Well, right. Yeah, I mean, that is the Ace Attorney curse, right? Is that the second you start playing as the character, they lose 30 IQ points, right? You know, and that is just like, you have to, it is part of just like the gameplay, to be able to choose evidence and make your way through the, you know, the testimony, is you have to, you know, not have the character go, well, obviously I can figure this out, right? And when Phoenix is a mentor character off screen, or not off screen, but, you know, to your side, you know, in a lot of the cases, he can instantly go, yeah, don't worry, here, this is how you do it. This is how you do it, you know, or, you know, that's why he shows up in the first Athena case and is like, hey, here, I'll help you out, Athena. I've got this under control, right? So every once in a while, I wish that there were some moments to let Phoenix show that side of himself now in a court case. But those opportunities have just not either. I don't know if the writers, you know, when they were working on this, they just couldn't figure out a way to make it happen and make it make sense or what. I don't know. But there's part of me that wishes that we got a little bit more of that competent Phoenix to just show his growth as a character, because it's been all these years, you know.
My interpretation of it is that he's just faking it all the time, and that includes to us when we're Apollo. Like, I assume...
You could definitely read it that way, right?
Yeah, that's just... I mean, I think that's the only way I could read it without getting upset at it. Does that make sense? Like, it has to be that interpretation. Otherwise, we are simply just not allowed to be a competent lawyer. We have to be, like...
Otherwise, we must accept questionable writing decisions.
Yes, exactly. Because, like, I don't know, man. If he's... It brings up an issue that, weirdly enough, is kind of parallel to Dragon Ball Z, which is, like, when adult Goku first showed up, he was, like, a competent adult who, like, made good decisions. You know what I mean? Like, he could, like, have a conversation. It wasn't just, like, an insane fighting guy. And then in Dragon Ball Super, he is just like 2 IQ fight all the time. And I'm just like, I get it, but like, he did have like speeches during the fucking Cell's arc where he's like, Gohan, you have to be responsible and fight for your friends and defeat Cell. Like, you can't just fuck around right now. And it's like, we get that Phoenix Wright when we're Apollo. But we don't get that Phoenix Wright when we're him. And I'm just like, oh, come on, man. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
I feel like, I don't know, we have so much of his internal dialogue. I feel like there is a balance that can be struck there.
Yeah.
Of him pretending to be confident when he's not.
His internal monologue, if it was real, would just be consistently screaming in court.
That's fair. I mean, that's what I'm doing.
I think that's the perfect way to write adult Phoenix Wright. Which, I say adult as if he was an adult in the first trilogy. That's the best way to handle, like, mentor Phoenix Wright, is that, like, inner monologue, it is just, like, sound of monkey screaming. But outside monologue, he goes, I know how to handle this scenario. Thank you very much, Professor, Prosecutor Samadhi. And, like, right. I think that'd be a really cool way to write Phoenix Wright, where he's cool in his outside dialogue, but, like, about to break the fuck down with, like, the
him being like, oh man, I'm freaking out, but let me say something.
I gotta
something.
Put on a brave face for Maya, that kind of thing. That,
I gotta say something cool. Sometimes. I know how to do this because I practiced it.
Yeah, and like, I understand that, like, obviously Phoenix as a character, part of the reason we love him is because he is a, you know, sweaty, bluffing, you know,
gambler,
right? An idiot, you know, at times, right? Is that he's always scrambling. Like, that's part of the fun. But if he has grown, it's been 10-15 years.
My,
like, I would like to see
a professional scrambler. Thank you very much.
I would like to see a little bit more of that professional scrambling, right? I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I who knows, maybe somebody has written that out and it doesn't work. Maybe that was something they attempted and they were like, this just doesn't make for a fun game, right?
Yeah,
but there's part of me that wants to see that growth in the character, and it is, I feel like I only get 5-10% of that here, you
yes
know?
100%.
It's not that it doesn't happen at all, because it does happen, and when it does happen, I love it. But yeah, I guess we should get back to the you know, kind of wrapping up the courtroom segment, which is basically prove that Trust did all this, right?
Yeah.
And then Rafe is like, all right, great work, everybody. I'm going to banish him. And Baleeb is like, no, let me banish my husband back to the abyss.
Yeah. And they get to have their tearful goodbye.
That's did this nice. Get anybody or no?
No.
Did it get you?
No, it did not. I'm mad. Listen, no.
She goes, I love you. back to the Shadow Realm, immediately sets bomb off.
The Twilight Realm.
Yeah, now that I like. The second as they walk out into the lobby, and Phoenix, and they're playing their happy, like, da-da-da-dun, you know, music as you're like, you won the court case, and you're talking to Maya, and Baleeb shows up, and she's like, hey. And she takes off of her mourning veil, right, and takes her lipstick and turns it into markings on her forehead. It's like, I'm going to fucking war. And then you hear an explosion off screen.
It's sick because she literally goes, I miss the greatest man who ever lived in my life, and I know exactly how to repay him. And she takes her lipstick and puts a mark on her forehead, and she goes, by continuing his work in revolution. And you go, hey, wait,
Viva la Revolution.
Viva la Revolution.
And pulls up the courtroom.
Yeah.
That was actually tight as fuck. And
yeah, that was sick.
That was sick. Also, Dirk and Dats is just there.
Like, yeah, they show up. They run past.
Things are exploding. Like, and Phoenix goes, wow, is that Dirk? Anyway.
And then literally right after it.
Anyway, not my business.
Maya literally goes, so do you think the Steel Samurai versus Dirk would sell in Japanifornia? And you're like, Maya, never changed.
And then there's another explosion, and they're like, maybe we should leave.
Maybe we should leave.
Phoenix talks about them running off in the way that you might talk about, those crazy kids.
100%.
Setting off their
bomb. So lighthearted, like, when it's like, I think they just set a bomb off here, or they did something. They broke or exploded something back there.
Meanwhile, Rafa is going through, like, an existential crisis, realizing that her position in the oligarchy is not great. And also, like, Maya Fey has to comfort her, and I'm like, wow, Maya, you finally became a mentor. I can't wait to when you use this energy back home with Pearl Fey after she, like, bench presses the house. It's gonna be really sick when you
bring her up. She'll fucking run there in like 2 minutes,
dude. I say new X-Men with Pearl Fey goes crazy. I'd read that.
Pearl would have handled this situation.
Do you think Pearl would be part of the revolution?
None of these people would dare disrespect Miss Maya.
True. Actually, that's a good point. Princess Rafa was lucky that Pearl wasn't here. She would have had
Pearl
her.
Would do her, like, sleeve rolls up animation.
Princess
right,
Rafa would have caught these fucking hands.
You know that one animation they used for Cowboy Bebop fighting in the train that they also used in fucking Naruto? I'm just imagining, like, the fucking fighting fists with Pearl Fane knocking out Rafa.
Pearl Sakuga
goes crazy. I'd watch that. Anyway, I think there's a lot of interesting, like, overall plot development with this case, and I do think the case is interesting. I just wish that whoever was writing Sadmati should realize that people should like the prosecutors. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I understand, like, making the prosecutors unlikable in, like, the first case, but then after that, you have to make them more likable because they're going to be around the whole time.
Yeah. I didn't love Edgeworth at first. I was like, what is all this hype for what? For this? But I was wrong. I grew to love him.
That and Bobby Fulbright does maintain, like, a chain around my heart.
Yeah, we love Tiago and I love Bobby.
The real Bobby Fulbright. Not the fake one.
Bobby Fulbright was a goddamn menace.
I loved him.
And I appreciate that. He was an antagonist to try to have me killed. But he did
and
it in
I
a
loved
really
him.
He did it in a sick way, so I can't
we
be mad.
We aimed out the window to each other.
Injustice we trust.
To be my friend for four cases.
Nayuta could never. Could
he would
never.
Never wave out the window. He would never be able to pretend to be my friend for four cases and then turn around and stab me in the back like a cold-hearted monster.
Nayuta would never wait outside a window. He doesn't
and
like
doesn't work
windows.
The other way around, buddy.
Yeah.
You can't be so, like, I was on your side. No.
When he does when he does that flip, I am going to be pissed. I don't, like...
It better be really good.
That's the thing, right?
Levels of good that are unprecedented.
I straight up, like, yeah, no, that's the only way for it to be handled right, is that, like, it's the best goddamn shit we've ever seen, you know? They really gotta stick the landing on this guy.
Well, we're gonna be finding that out sooner or later here. We are halfway through now, this game.
What do you mean?
There's two more cases and a DLC case.
Oh, there's a DLC case? Sick.
Yep. So this is halfway through. Probably not in pure hours, because that final case is loaded, I will tell you.
Is that the
but
three?
We're not there.
Is that the three-parter we're doing?
Looking ahead at the schedule. That might be, we're trying to figure out how to break that one up. It might be three parts. We'll see.
Oh, boy.
But we're not there yet. Next is going to be the fourth case of the game. And that one we are doing all in one go because it's a shorter all court case.
All court?
All court.
All court?
All court.
All court.
We're so normal right now.
I think that there is going to be some stuff in this case for Rose. And there's going to be some stuff in this case for Tiago.
Wow.
Not sure if there'll be anything in this case for Desi, but who knows? I could be wrong.
NPCs
might appeal to her. You'll have to wait and find out.
What's very funny is that I'm imagining like an SMT lineman for Des, and she has to choose like Tiago or Rose as her alignment to see which one she gets happy with.
Oh.
Or you could choose the neutral path and just be pissed at everything.
I'm angry at this game. Sick of the religion stuff. Let it go, bro.
Dude, hey, that's what Somadi
says.
They're
telling us to let it go. You guys let it go first.
I'll let go if you let go.
Yeah.
Hangs up.
How about we both hang up at the same time?
Hanging to the bridge with my friends.
Yeah.
The edge of the cliff.
Yeah, I'll let go if you let go.
We got to do it at the same time, though.
Yep. All right. Well, I think that will do it for us then for case three. Wrap that one up. You can keep up with everything that we do via our website, which is updatedautopsy.report. That'll keep you up to date on everything that we do, all the episodes, as well as get you links to all of our social media accounts. It will also link you to all of our Let's Plays, where Desi and I play through the game as we prep for the podcast.
Can I zone out when you ask me a damn question?
I wasn't going to bring that up.
Don't tell them that. Shh.
Yep. YouTube.com/@Yotsuben for that. And you can follow me on all social media at Yotsuben. Desi, where can people find you?
Working from home.
Congratulations.
And
Tiago? At Tiago S. Dutra on the website formerly known as Twitter, in which you can find my link tree in bio.
And Rose.
You can find me at Rose Nonsense on co-host and other social medias. You can also find me trapped on the fucking Green Line in the city of Boston. I will be there.
Rose is underneath every seat next to a empty soda can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The landmarks.
Mm-hmm. That sandwich train line, though. You gotta figure that out for yourselves.
Yeah.
Just the green.
Yeah, I figured that shit out.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you will rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform of choice. Next time, we will be playing the fourth case of Spirit of Justice, Turnabout Storyteller. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to kill our writer next case. Good night.
We are?
I don't know, I'm just saying shit.
Are we gonna kill the writer of this game?
Oh, whoa! I can't tell you that.
Okay.
We'll find out together. Bye!
Uh-huh.
Alright, that's it. That's the final goodbye. I'm not saying goodbye. Yeah,
is
goodbye?
That the final goodbye?
I'm not saying... No, I'm not saying that. Rose! Rose!
Goodbye?
Stop it. Stop it. My pet.
Stop stealing your bit.